Help us to hear your voice. Help us, Lord, to understand that it's not over here or over there, but it's within us. Help us to ask the right questions. And help us to be still and listen for that small, still voice that's inside each of us. Help us to grow in your love and your grace. Amen. Father Carol Stallmuller, who is a theologian in our church today, I listened to him give this definition of sin. Sin is the fleeing from pain, suffering, and brokenness of oneself and others. Now, I'm going to talk about that a little bit, so if it's got you a little bit confused, I want to get us into it and help us to think about those words. Sin is fleeing from the pain, suffering, and brokenness of oneself and others. The Apostle Paul, when he uses the word sin throughout Scripture, it's always singular. It's never sins. One time in the epistles is the word sins used, and he's quoting another scripture. It's always singular. So we're talking about a condition of mankind. You and I usually refer to sin as the fruits of sin, really. You know, we'll say lying is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Adultery is a sin. No, those are the fruits of sin. They're the fruits of sin. For instance, you can stop adultery, you can stop lying, and you can stop stealing, and still be in the middle of sin. This is really critical. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul. If you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but you don't love, you're nothing. If you have enough faith to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it got up and moved, but you don't love, you're nothing. If you sold everything you had and you fed the poor, but you didn't love, you're nothing. If you gave yourself to be burned at the stake, but you never loved, you're nothing. Or if you gave yourself to be a priest for life, but never loved, you're nothing. Or a sister, or a layperson, whatever, it makes no difference. The greatest moral attributes without love is a goose egg. So if you never aborted a baby, but you never loved, it's nothing. See, I think a critical error that we've made is that we thought if we got a little moral, we'd be okay. And a little morality is the most dangerous thing in the world. All morality must stem from loving. Your aim must be to love, and the morality follows. That's the difference in the law and the fulfillment of the law. The difference in law and grace. See, if you love, the morality will follow. But you can get away, you can do away with the fruit of sin. You can cover it up where it looks good. Wasn't that the problem with the Pharisees? They had 619 laws to obey and they were all right and they did it. But Jesus said they were washed on the outside. But on the inside they were filthy. If you love, it cleans the inside. And the outside will follow. But the inside does not necessarily... Matter of fact, I don't know if the inside can ever follow the outside. I don't know if it can ever work that way. Boy, we can make it look good to everybody. And this is one of the things that will really lead us into line. Now, look at the word, the definition that Father Stallmuller gives sin. Sin is fleeing from my brokenness. Let's just say that. Sin is fleeing from my brokenness. I'll say it in another way. Sin is not admitting what I am. That's why you can be a sinner, but no longer sin. Because when you admit what you are and you keep it before your eyes at all times, folks, it don't beat you down. It makes your relationship with other people different. How can I look at somebody else and treat them like a thief when I know me? I can't do it. Well, I want to tell you, it's amazing if you get a grip of what I'm talking about, how it'll change your life. And somehow or other, we've got into this thing, if I clean the outside up, if I look okay, I'm going to tell you what, I could take these precious sisters up here and they could tell me what goes on in the homes they live in, and it would make your hair stand on end, folks. Some of them haven't talked to each other for years. Isn't that right, ladies? Don't that go on in these homes you live in? You'll get sisters that can't even communicate with each other. They hate each other so much. Y'all ever have that? Y'all don't have any kind of problems. Is there one person mad because they wash the dishes all the time? We've solved those problems, haven't we? We found ways not to get mad at each other anymore. The first way we did it, we got slaves. You know, the rich man hires a slave to it. Says, well, I don't ever have any problem with the kids. You know why? He don't ever see them. But we flee from our brokenness. We flee from it. We absolutely refuse to admit what we are. We lie to ourselves where it's nobody but me and God. You know, I gotta bring this out to all of us, because I won't be fair to everybody in here if I don't lay this out on the table and let us all look at it. Everybody in here that's a liar, raise your hand. Sister, don't be so reluctant. We're all in this boat together. Now, I'd just like for the... We got one husband over here raising his wife's hand. See, that's what we want to do. We know everybody else is liars, don't we? Now, what I would like to do with that, I'd like it to go on the tape that everybody in this room raise their hands. As soon as he left you alone. You don't need somebody else telling you a liar. That's what we get fed up with. All right. I'd like to just voluntarily... I would like people to tell me some of the ways we lie. And what it'll do, it'll help everybody in this room. If we'll start telling ways that you know that you lie. How many of us, I'll give you some things to think about. How many of you, us with children, have ever had a phone call and we've told the kid to tell the person on the line we weren't home? Now you don't have to raise your hand. That's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie.
We call that a white lie.
Yeah, we call those white lies, and that's the biggest lie of the two right there. Is there's white lies and there's black lies. The devil, the father of darkness, is the father of all lies. Now we'll say, well, we'll tell a little lie because it'll help that person. I have a great question about that, folks. See, that kind of checks out where our faith is. I'll help them. I want to tell everybody in here that there's none of you ever helped anybody. maybe temporarily, you know, give somebody a hot meal and they feel better for a while. But real help lasts, doesn't it? Man, you got nothing that lasts. That's why God is the Savior. He's the one that gives the real help. Now, me and you can be signs that point to God, to His goodness and His love. Somebody tell me another way. You know, you sisters could probably really help us now. You know, you've heard a lot of this. Help us some. Yes, ma'am. I want you to give me something you put your teeth into. The real stuff. I mean, how it really happens. Yeah. Y'all hear that?
No.
Tell them again.
They were staying out in the dorm. One of the men forgot to turn his key in. And rather than going back into the dorm and facing, he forgot to turn his key in and he was trying to get out. And he asked the security guard and the gate son, he said, "I found them."
Now, why does he have a problem doing the other?
Right.
He's fleeing from his brokenness. He's fleeing from a problem that he has. I can't let anybody know that I'm fallible. Aren't we like that? We'll tell all kind of lies to portray a picture. I'll sit here and think about what y'all expect out of me, and I'll tell you all kind of stories to keep it built up. We demand that our children become liars. You know that? I'm a father of five. I demanded my kids lie to me. We teach them to lie. Let me tell you how. All right, I'll tell you how. I'll give you an. You remember the scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." This is what'll do away with a lot of this stuff. You know, it's the yes buts. And he says that all comes from the devil. And it does. If you'll just look at it, it does. Here's the way I taught my kids to lie. You know, to each one of us, to our kids, there's nobody on the world greater than us. I don't give a rip how sorry we are. I mean, they look up. We're the God and the goddess in their life. And so, what would you do to your God, and we do this to our God, to maintain the... what you think that God should think of you, you'll tell him all kind of lies to keep him thinking that of you, won't you? You know why a kid will... You can ask a child if they stole something and they'll tell you a bald-faced lie. You know why? Because they know that you don't like thieves. Well, here's one of the things that I would do. I've got five children from 10 to through 22. One of my kids they've just got their driver's license. This is a classic, folks. Anybody with a child. Now, I've done it since they were this high, but this is something where anybody with children can identify with. Got their driver's license, and they want to go out on Saturday night. This is Monday, and Monday they say, "Yeah, boy, me and Susie Q's going to such and such place." But you know, the folks really don't care about that place. So, if I want to go from here to here, if I'm here and I need the car to get there, and if I said I'm going to such and such dance hall, there ain't no way Daddy'd let me have the car. That's a logical conclusion. So, let me see what I can do to get there. And so all week we'll think about all the different ways, or maybe some of you ladies have thought about the different ways you could tell Mother Superior a story a certain way and you'd get what you wanted. But you wouldn't go this way. You would think of a way that would sell her on the idea. That's the white lies again, you know. I'll tell a little lie, but if it gets me here, it's all right. So here my child walks in the house and says this to me. "Dad, can I have the car Saturday night?" And Dad doesn't say yes or no. Dad says, "Where are you going?" Now the kids already got it figured out. I'm going to all the churches having a church picnic. Who are you going with? All those nice Christian kids. Sure, you can have the car, son. So he gets in the car, and here's the church picnic. Where does he go? He might even stop by there and call me, where I can hear the church picnic in the background. But where does he go? Woo! Now, let me tell you something. And I've done this with my kids, and y'all may think I'm nuts. I said, don't even tell me where you're going. Ask the question. I'll give you a yes or a no. You're going where you want anyway. Now, that's not fleeing from our pain, suffering, and our brokenness. That's admitting it. We demand. We got a nation right now in Washington. We got a pile of people that absolutely demand that to get there, you got to lie. Can you imagine a politician getting elected by telling the truth? We demand they lie to us. And then when they get there and get there, their lies become so flagrant, then we say, well, we're going to lock you up. We're going to shut you out. Get out of here, boy. We made him lie to get there. We did. I'll tell everybody in this room, and it's a, you know, I don't usually sit here with, well, I got five or six nuns in here, don't I? But I'm going to tell you, I throw them right in the pot with this. I'll tell everybody in here that if tomorrow morning you were in your hometown and you woke up and on the front page of your local newspaper was your life story, everything you had done and thought of doing, you wouldn't even say goodbye to Mother Superior. You would slip out and get in your car and never come back. You couldn't stand for your friend next to you to know what you thought up and how your mind works. Can I get an amen on that, ladies?
Amen.
Amen. Not admitting that is what sin is. Fleeing from that. What we really are. What our fallen natures are. What our church calls original sin. Fleeing from it, never admitting it. My. Somebody else tell me a way. I can tell you a bunch. See, I thought about this a long time. I'll give you another little. I'll try to stir your mind up to get you to thinking. I'm standing in a. I like to cook. Anybody? You look at me and tell I like to cook. I don't like to clean up, but I like to cook. That's what my wife would say if she was here. She said, yeah, he's good at cooking. That son of a gun is real bad about cleaning up, though. I was in the kitchen one time with a stranger. I've worked a lot of crucios and things like that and get put places where we're cooking for folks. And I was in a place one time, and we were making tacos. And this person's standing next to me, and I said, you know how to make tacos? Yeah. I said, well, how about cutting the cheese up for the tacos? So we get cruising along, and it's about time to put all the tacos together, and I look over, and he's got cheese sliced in slices this thick and this long. Now, I ask you, friends, did he know how to make a taco? Now, why did he tell me that? Save his face. So what? Why can't you say, do you know how to make tacos? No. Can't say that. Folks, I've done it a million times. Let me give you a classical story in my family. My father was a Yankee. And during the Depression, when everybody's hungry up in the North, he headed south. You know, he lived in a big city, and they were lined up in soup lines trying to get something to eat. And he knew his grandfather knew somebody in Florida, and he came down here, and he met my grandfather and went to work for him. He was a farmer. They didn't have 1 cent, folks, but they had all the food you could eat. Man, he thought that was heaven. So he moves in with them and goes to working in the field. And after he's there about 2 weeks, my grandfather gets up one morning and says, "Reed, do you know how to harrow beans?" He said, "Sure." He took the harrow down there and harrowed 10 acres of beans right out of the ground. Sure. You know how to drive a car? Sure. My God, you just ran over 3 people. What's the matter? Well, I never drove a car before. You know how to drive a boat? Oh, yeah, I know. You know how to drive a barge? Yeah. Well, you just missed the span, you sucker. You hit the bridge. Any of us ever do these things? Oh, yeah, I know. Now, y'all name me some in your lives. Don't be ashamed. Everybody, listen, you're going to say something, and the person next to you is going to say, "Yeah, oh, God." Name me. Go, Joe. Yeah.
The teacher asked my brother, Chuck, "So I'm take this bicycle and go downtown, Long Hill." And he got the bicycle, but he didn't tell he'd never been on a bicycle before. He hit the bridge down the main.
Nearly killed himself.
Yeah.
Why? Why are we like that? Boy, think in your own lives. And I'm going to tell you what, if you can't come up with some, we got a real problem. It's not because you're not doing it. It's because you can't see it. You're fleeing from it. I catch myself daily giving my wife the answers I know she'd rather hear. Let me take a hypothetical. That my wife might... would you call so-and-so for me? Would you call the doctor today and make an appointment for me? And I get home at the end of the day and she said, "Did you make the phone call for me?" "Yeah, honey, but he wasn't in." Forgot it. But forgot it is unacceptable, isn't it? I'm the only one who does this kind of stuff, huh? That's the way we, isn't it something? And God loves us. Folks, I don't have it in me to bless and praise any other kind of God, but a God that unconditionally loves me. If God's going to get even with me, I'm a dead duck. And see, I believe the thing that makes you truly Christian is to admit what we're talking about yourself. It has a direct bearing on your relationship with others. Yes, sister.
About 15, 17 years ago, I committed myself to tithing my time to prayer. But when I'm discouraged or frustrated or have done a bad job of managing my day, instead of coming before the Lord naked and with my brokenness, what I'll do is bring a holy book and read it and call that giving my time to the Lord.
Did y'all hear that?
No.
Sister said 15 to 17 years ago she committed herself to a life of prayer. And she said she finds that when she has a bad day, things doesn't go the way she's wanted them to go, that many times when she comes to pray, she'll find herself in those instances bringing a book. And she'll sit and read a book. She can't come to God to admit, you know, "I'm a failure. Things didn't go the way I wanted them to go." And that is a way, see? We just... You know, if I could just get everybody to walk out of here and say, "Oh, God, I'm a sinner." But the other side of the coin is that God made you and God loves you. And He loves you just the way you are. No, he's not going to love you more if you change. He loves you just like you are. But I believe the only response to understanding or tasting the love of God is to want to love Him back. To want to love Him back. And when you start wanting to love the way God loves is when you'll stop fleeing from our pain and our suffering and our brokenness. We'll not flee from it anymore. We can admit what we are. And folks, it'll change your friends around you when you start admitting it. I have a friend that was a friend of mine all my life. One of the dearest people I've ever known, and I'll never forget the day that I sat in front of him and I said, "You know, I have found out that I am selfish." And this man looked at me, he is a doctor, and he says, "David, I'm not selfish." Good Catholic. Makes $400,000 a year. And feeds nobody but himself. But he's not selfish. Now, there is not... The only problem there, folks, is this. Is not recognizing it. That's the only problem there. I'm just like him. But it is only when you'll get in touch with yourself that you can begin to be something different. If you will begin to admit what you are. I know that Sister is on the road to recovery when she can say what she just said to me. I know that when you say that. Matter of fact, I don't know what else she can do but stop fleeing from what she really is. I don't know what else she can do. If y'all have ever listened to me talk on fasting, I could go right from what I'm talking about now and into fasting. Because this is what fasting is all about. Is learning to say no to temptation. When all of a sudden the best answer is a lie, you just look at that sucker and say, "No, I just didn't call him, honey. I'm a forgetful. I guess that I had things to do that was more important than what you asked me to do." How many of us can say that to our spouse? It's the truth. If she was more important than what I was doing, I wouldn't have forgot the phone call. Now, folks, if we're going to be evangelists, see, I'm talking about things that I think are elementary. But they're things that we never talked about before.
But part of our life that we were taught as children was to be approved.
Oh!
These two things that hand in glove.
It is. Sister said that all of our life as children we were taught that we had to do things to be approved. That's where all of this starts. When I used my children, for instance, in the car. I started teaching that to them this age. I know that. It's only when my children got to the driving age that I had a change in my life, and I began to say, I said this to a 17-year-old daughter of mine, folks, "Never again will I ask you where you're going." She lied to me. I said, "Never again, because the lie destroys you. I'll never ask you again where you're going. Just ask if you can have the car, and I'll say yes or no. And where you go is your business." And we'll say, "Well, it's crazy. You can't do that, folks." Ask them and make them lie and see where they go. "Where'd you go, Joe?" "Wherever you wanted. You thought up a good excuse to get down to the beach, but the end result was 6 good beers." You come back, Dad says, "Y'all work hard." "Oh, yeah." They worked 15 minutes and spent 4 hours drinking beer. Now, that's the truth. Yes.
I got one, David. Why? Because when I correct my two boys, they're 7 and 4, and they wrestle a lot, fight and wrestle. And to stop it, I might either be reading a book or just not in the mood for it. Instead of telling them that, "Stop, because I don't feel good, you're bothering me," I'll say, "Stop, guys, you're going to hurt one of them." You know, it's not my line.
That's right. This is a real good one. Doug has children, 4 and 7 years old, boys, and they like to wrestle. And Doug said he'll be reading a book, They'll get to wrestling, and he'll say to them, guys, stop, because you may hurt one another. And the real reason he wants them to stop is they're bugging him reading the book. That's the truth. Oh, I can sit here and you open floodgates in my life when you say that.